The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices. Now, on The Hayes Advantage, your advantage on arts and entertainment.
The legendary Joan Rivers. What's it like to be on stage?
I'm happiest with a live audience.
Star of the stage and the screen, Linda Lavin.
Occupy Wall Street, did you identify with that movement in any way?
Absolutely.
The Vanilla Ice Project now going to its second season on the Do-It-Yourself Network.
I did Ice Ice Baby, sold 160 million records.
Tell us about Joel Grey, the child actor.
I looked up at the stage and I said, I want to do that. And there was never any turning back.
The Hayes Advantage, arts and entertainment on Bloomberg Radio.
And this portion is brought to you by Pershing's Inside 2013 Conference. Top advisors rely on Inside for investment solutions, practice management, regulatory guidance, and hands-on technology. Coming in June, INSITE2013.com. I'm Vonnie Quinn, along with Kathleen Hayes. You're listening to The Hayes Advantage, and it's arts and entertainment. Village Playback Theatre, an innovative New York theatre company. It's based in the East Village. It's been around for more than 10 years. And the style of performance is something a little bit different. In fact, performers ask audience members questions about a story from their lives and then play it back to them immediately as theatre. So tonight is the Village Playback Theatre's Spring Gala at the Opera Guild at Lincoln Centre. Joining us now in studio is Village Playback Theatre performer Katie Lear. Welcome and thanks for joining us.
Hello, thank you so much for having us.
I feel like everybody you meet must give you a story from their childhood and expect
that
you just play
say,
it back.
I was just going to say, oh, exactly.
Absolutely. Childhood is definitely a big topic for us. It seems like so many of the stories that we carry with us throughout our lives are those formative childhood moments. Yeah.
So tell us how you got involved in the theater. We want to get a little bit more into the background of the theater, but first tell us about, you know, you're here in New York, you're an actor.
Yes.
How did you get involved?
Yeah, well, I'm a professional actor. I was trained at NYU, so that's my background is from a very strictly a theater, contemporary, mainstream training study, but I always knew that I wanted to share that with people who maybe don't have the luxury of being a full-time artist or going to the theater every Sunday. So when I found Village Playback Theater, that was really a perfect fit for me.
Just curious, where are you from originally?
I'm from Rochester, New York.
Okay, so not too far away.
A little bit of a trek, but not bad.
We're also joined, in fact, now in studio by Dan Guerra. He is the artistic director of Village Playback Theater. Oh, well... Correct me. Am I misinterpreting your role, Dan?
That's okay. Yes. Well, I'm one of the actors and performers at Village Playback
as well.
Theater.
Yes. Okay. Wonderful. So you guys sometimes are on stage together.
Always.
Yes.
Now
we will be tonight.
Tell us what the difference between what you do is and straight improvisation.
You know, straight improvisation is usually and often based around comedy and solely entertainment, which is it's a great form of art. But I think what makes us different is that we have both the form of improv, but we use it for storytelling, which often has both an entertaining and kind of a therapeutic impact as well, which is really nice.
Go ahead, therapeutic. Katie. How so, Katie?
Well, the way I would describe it is that we're taking personal stories from people's lives and then immediately on the spot transforming that into an improvised theater experience. So it can really run the gamut from comedic to very serious to very touching, often back and forth. But what we do is take an audience member, bring them on stage with us, and our director will ask the person a series of questions to sort of draw out a story from their own lives. And then immediately our actors take the story and perform it back. We play it back for that person in the audience with music and improv. And
now I want to look at how the theater started. It was founded in 1975, I'm reading from Wikipedia, by Jonathan Fox and Joe Salas. Fox was a student of improvisational theater and also Jacob Marino's psychodrama method.
Yes, he's a very well-known drama therapist as well.
And Salas was a trained musician and activist, and they both had served as volunteers in developing country. Fox was a Peace Corps volunteer in Nepal. Salas with New Zealand's volunteer service abroad in Malaysia. So clearly this comes out also not just from a let's do something original, improvisational, but let's do theater with purpose and meaning?
Absolutely. There was always a very, I think, socially aware bent to the work. That was actually the methodology of playback theater was founded by Jonathan Fox. Our company was founded in the wake of September 11th here in New York City, but it follows the same tradition as Jonathan Fox's work.
So Dan? Interesting.
Yeah, just could you kind of chime in on the development of the theater? And how long have you been with him, the theater?
I've been with Village Playback Theater for going on 2 years now. Yeah, and I would echo what Katie said, is that it's always had sort of a socially aware foundation to it.
So does that mean when you guys hear someone's story on stage, do you immediately kind of have a feeling of, oh, here's an issue, a problem I'm going to solve? Do you mean you have a sort of a...
I wouldn't say that's as consciously in mind, but there's something about the space and the form that allows those stories to emerge in a public arena, in a space that maybe otherwise, or a time where otherwise people don't get to tell their stories in that same way. Mm-hmm. So that story emerges, and we play it back in real time, right there on the spot, and oftentimes that has an interesting impact on both storyteller, performer, and the audience.
Our audience is just, I mean, our guests are just growing and growing. We now have Randy Mulder joining us in studio with Katie Lear and Dan Guerra, all from Playback Theater, Vonnie Quinn and I, Kathleen Hayes. So, Randy, welcome. We've spoken to two of your actors. Tell us about your role in Village Playback Theater.
Sure. I'm the artistic director of Village Playback Theater, and as Katie and Don have eloquently expressed, we've been around since about 2002 and are looking from the very beginning to find ways to use theater to engage people in stories that may have not been heard, which really, for us, culminated in the 9/11 crisis several years ago.
We're speaking with Village Playback Theatre Artistic Director Randy Mulder and also two performers, Katie Lear and Dan Guerra. Do you find that after the performances that some of the audience members who maybe have been the subject of what they've seen on stage come up and say, that's been extremely therapeutic, I saw myself in a different light?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the more rewarding parts of the work for us, is that unlike a traditional theatre experience where the curtain comes down, the audience files out, and you go home again, Village Playback Theatre really gives you a sense of community with the audience for the time that you're in that space. Everybody is really involved. So we often get really meaningful moments with our storytellers.
And Bonnie, if I may, also not only after the performance is over, but right there in the moment as the story is being told and performed, those sorts of observations are very apparent.
So Patrick, how do you keep it entertaining? I mean, it's wonderful to have something that's meaningful and it's different. I'm thinking of Patrick Willingham, artistic director of the Public Theater.
We're very honored to have
yet another artistic director, you know, or actually that's Oscar Eustace is the artistic. Of course, Patrick runs the Public. And anyway, we love having theater people in here, and we're very happy to have Randy Mulder from Village Playback. But how do you keep it still entertaining? Because if I go to the theater, yes, I want to feel like I'm doing something socially good, but hey, I'm going for entertainment, and that aspect of it is too. It's theater.
Yes, Kathleen, that's an excellent question. That's something that we're constantly having to be aware of, that it isn't just an outreach for personal and community development, but it is a form of entertainment. And part of the way that we do that was hire trained and professional performers, trained musicians, trained actors, who know exactly how to use their art. And when we go to theater, I mean, we want to see some aspect of ourselves when we are looking on stage. And so these actors and musicians are trained to really bring out the vulnerabilities and the subtleties of their art form, that immediately people see themselves. And even if it's not their story, they relate very much to the story that's being told.
Katie, perhaps I could ask you how you coordinate and how much time you take before you actually get on stage and present the finished work, as it were. I mean, there's musicians mm-hmm. involved as well, as Randy just said.
But between the time that the story is told and our performance is maximum maybe 60 seconds.
You're all
to
on stage together.
Yeah. We're on stage together. We do it on the spot. We have an overture generally from our musician to set the scene, and we're on. It's a fully improvised piece.
Dan, you must have a stock of things to draw from. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that how it works? You draw from previous performances? Is it all new?
Sure. You know, a lot of what we draw upon is just life itself and our own lives and our experiences that we've gone through as human beings. You know, certainly there's a form to playback theater, and you know, that's studied, and we do you know, get together and rehearse. But a lot of what it is it comes from our own stories.
So Randy, you know, you can't improvise the money. You can't improvise paying people. I'm noticing Fractured Atlas has a fiscal sponsorship page. I don't know if that's still live for Village Playback Theater, but are you an organization that relies solely on donations? Is it what you get at the door? How do you fund Village Playback Theater?
We are solely dependent on donor donations. We do online drives. We're doing a gala today, which I'm happy to say is sold out. And if people are interested, they can certainly go to our website, which is villageplaybacktheater.org, and click on the donation page, and it'll take them directly to our fiscal sponsorship.
Have your donations held up even through this tough time? You started after 9/11, but you went through the Great Recession.
We did. You know, we've stayed really towards personalizing our asks, asking people. We have a steady flowing of people who are coming and donating money. And we do public performances like tonight where people can see it who don't normally.
Okay. Well, we thank you all for joining us.
Well, thank you very
much. Thank you so
much. That's villageplaybacktheater.com.
And that's Dan Guerra and Katie Lear, performers.
Actually, it's villageplaybacktheater.org.
.org.
And it's theater with an R-E.
R-E, thank you so much. And
thank
of course,
thanks
to Randy Mulder, Village Playback Theater Artistic Director. And we'll be putting your podcast out later this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Kathleen, would you do it? Would you tell a story? Would you have it performed in front of you?
There's some stories I probably wouldn't have performed, but oh my gosh, I can think of some great. I have some great stories. I'd love you
but
guys
it's
to
the
perform.
The one that you wouldn't tell that we want to see.
That's probably true. Well, Vonnie, I'll be down shortly. Thank you so much, and thanks you to everybody for joining Vonnie Quinn and I today and this week on the Hayes Advantage. We had a great time. We're going to have...
Big day to week next week.
Oh, gosh, so many numbers.
Jobs on Friday.
That's right. We'll be ready for that. And we will be having some special shows next week. We'll tell you about it on Monday. For now, we're going to tell you to keep it right here. Taking Stock, taking you through the next 3 hours, the market close and beyond. Pim Fox, Carol Master, they're in studio. This is Bloomberg Radio.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.